PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the Original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week, once again, is Mr. Casey Schultz over at, in this case, Srixon. How are you today, buddy?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm always good when you come on because I get to be entertained by the chaos that is an ever-growing collection of quality golf clubs that I think a lot of THPers are really excited about. And, you know, based on what I played in the past, I'm really excited about because you're expanding the lineup today. I don't want to tease it too hard, but what's going on with you? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. Busy. I mean, a lot of energy and momentum behind the brand and the sort of relaunch with Obsessed With It and everything over the last month at the PGA show. I think we're really excited where everything's moving, and a lot of cool stuff that I can't share is currently in the works. So it's going to be an awesome next couple of years for us.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up. New look background today. And I said, "Hey, Casey, where are you?" And he goes, "Oh, we're in the photo room. A bunch of stuff that I can't really tell you about or tell anyone about that I can't move my camera too much." Like, that, you know, that's pretty uncool, right?
Yeah, it comes with the territory. I'm just gonna be careful on these things on what I can and can't say, but yeah, teasing a lot of cool stuff in the works. We've got things that THPers I think will be very excited about in the next couple of seasons.
Yeah, well, last year was a lot of fun. I mean, talking through ZXI was unbelievable, and enjoying RTZ and CBZ, all that stuff. I actually was sort of reminiscing on some of the shows we did last year together and making sure we that we covered every avenue today in case we missed anything. But, you know, there's a very subtle progression in golf right now. I feel like it's really starting to focus more on forgiveness, more on supporting the golfer as opposed to just absolutely maximizing distance and, you know, things like that. So where my wheelhouse is kind of in that ZXI 7 storyline, and I'm very happy to be there with the exception of a long iron. That's where I get a little squirrely and I say, man, just like load me up. Give me like all the junk that's in the trunk for a 4-iron that I could drop into my bag. And it's almost like you guys have been, reading the diary over here. I don't know if I have it shared online or something like that. Because I woke up one day and we had a great article on our homepage from Mr. Ryan Hawk talking about from Mr. Dean DiCrescenzo talking about this new Srixon iron that is loaded in what appears to be a bunch of forgiveness. So I want to open the door for you to introduce ZXIR and just give us like the front end conversation of why it needed to exist.
Sure. I mean, I think we've seen as a brand a lot of opportunity with the growth we've had to get out of just the players segment and really target a wider swath of the market with everything that makes Srixon so great. And I think the biggest challenge of doing that was, as a brand, we really feel like feel is paramount to a good iron experience and everything else that comes there. So we'll get into tech in a minute, but having the iAlloy material developed and in the pipeline for something like these irons, I think allowed us to enter a category we really hadn't been in seriously before, with an iron that we, you know, true to form feel is going to feel like a Srixon iron while still offering everything that your average golfer needs of forgiveness, of distance, of that perimeter weighting, of a low and deep CG for added launch, all with that sort of Srixon signature shaping that you're used to seeing in our players' irons, in a slightly more forgiving profile. So it was really the confluence of all that technology that allowed us to move into the space that I think we had always wanted to expand to. And with the momentum of the brand and all the success on tour and the overall exposure that we're seeing in the market with Srixon in general, it couldn't have been a better time to make that transition and appeal to a wider market that in the past may have felt like they couldn't play Srixon or, you know, had always had that as a brand they wanted to get into eventually.
So there's almost always been this invisible line in the sand that exists when you talk about your umbrella of companies, whether it's Srixon, Cleveland, Zexio. Like there seems to be a very niche reality that goes into each one. And this feels like a true overlap between Srixon in Cleveland, where Cleveland is always been highly supportive of the forgiveness aspect of golf, it seems like there's an understanding that there are people who play Cleveland that also want to play or strive to play Strixon, whether that's the correct progression or not. That's just me looking outward in. Is there any of that conversation that's going on internally to say, hey, like, we'd love to blend this storyline? Is there an intent there to have that sort of simple variance between the whole brand?
Yeah. I think there's been a bit of a definite change in the way we're treating the brands and everything moving forward. What this line does that our Cleveland clubs, I guess, in the past have focused a little bit less on is really still constrains ourselves a bit on, we want to make really good looking, good feeling products that, you know, still have that player's authentic foundation and authenticity to them in the game improvement space, rather than kind of throwing those rules out and making things that are a little bit more risky and out there and maybe not as cosmetically appealing at address or, you know, in performance. But, you know, forgiveness above all else has kind of been the Cleveland philosophy over the last few generations. And so I think with these new Strixon irons, they're truly that Strixon DNA in the game improvement space, a little bit more than our Cleveland offerings have been in the past there. And it's definitely not a, you know, a Cleveland iron and Strixon clothes by any shape of the imagination. It's an entirely different team that's really developed with our Strixon philosophies, these irons with shaping that Strixon authentic toward VT soles, all of that. So yeah, it's a true offering under the Strixon brand for that game improvement player who still wants those, you know, feel and core aesthetics at address and everything like that that comes with Strixon. And it's also shifted the way we're treating the Cleveland brand a little bit moving forward with sort of a focus on the short game, and our short game authority is really what we're going to be as a brand leaning into and, you know, establishing once again our dominance there with all the momentum that RTZ and CBZ has brought us. That's certainly the focus of the Cleveland brand moving forward.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm desperate to talk to you about CBZ and RTZ for some reason. And it's not necessarily because we haven't covered it. We've covered it pretty well on the show, I think, at this point. But the conversation always ended up being, how are things progressing after you have that release? That's one of the things I don't feel like we get to have a lot of conversation about on the show. It's always, tell us about the new, of course, and then really change that camera angle so we can see what's next new. You know, that's always the focus on the show, and it's rarely enough that we get to go back and sort of celebrate or discuss the impact that current market or current clubs have had. So before we go too deep into ZXIR, because we will, I'd love to hear, now that we've been months removed from our discussion on CBZ and even more months removed from our discussion on RTZ, how has that looked over the last few months? How have things been received overall?
Yeah, I mean, I think everything's been super positive from the wedge side. We really see Z Alloy as kind of a paradigm shift in the way we design our wedges and the foundation for the future generations of our wedge designs. Material's not going anywhere. It's truly the kind of key to unlock, you know, a whole host of different opportunities that we're, you know, only cracking the surface of with these first clubs, which are obviously the best we've made in that category, moving away from 8620 and other materials, but also open us for future potential. And the stuff we have coming down the line is going to be extremely, you know, exciting to keep taking advantage of the resources we have at our disposal with that new tech. So yeah, CBZ has done phenomenal to apply that in a segment that has truly had wedges in the past that were a little bit of an afterthought. I think you can even see it in some of the competitor offerings in the market. They don't have all of the high-end technologies. They don't have the same materials as the tour wedges. They don't have that same feel or even the same, you know, groove tech and spin tech. And applying all of our tour technologies to a wedge that's a little bit more designed for forgiveness and to help your average golfer is something we've seen great feedback from. And we're seeing it in sales, and we're seeing it in overall, you know, reviews and everything in the market. So CBZ has certainly been a great success for us. And we really feel like the family of Z Alloy wedges with the RTZ and CBZs has been a really good boost for us to have such a feel focused offering for any golfer out there. We really do feel like we above all other brands out there, have the ability to put any player that walks into a shop or is looking for a wedge for their game into, you know, whatever wedge fits them best. So as a brand, where I think we're really pretty proud to stand out like that.
The conversation always ends up landing me on one comment, and it's material difference. I feel like that discussion has been pretty much at the forefront for you guys. Z Alloy had a lot of fun realities that existed because of the way it operates. But I want to push my experience with Strixon back a little bit to Irons a couple iterations ago that really started to imprint this perspective that I had, that it was a really high quality experience hitting, more specifically, the 7 Series iron is how I'd relate to it, depending on what version of I had. But there was a definitive contact quality that really resonated with me. And when I would have conversations with other people who hit Strixon irons, the conversation was much the same. There is a very satisfying and enjoyable engagement between me and the golf ball when I make a good strike on it. And that when you have that sort of identity, it starts to grow. I feel like, especially when it's a positive sound instead of a negative one, obviously both have realities that exist, but for me, that's been that carryover. When you came out with the alloy, I'm like, okay, continue with this material difference story. There is a level of difference that exists, and I think that matters a lot when you're trying to differentiate yourselves between what you can accomplish from a tech story and what you can accomplish from an experience story for everyone who goes to hit your product. So all that to say, I've been sort of wrapped up in Z Alloy this whole time. And then Dean puts this up on our website and I read I Alloy. I'm like, dude, I'm barely even recovering from the realities of Z Alloy. And now we have this new conversation point. So I'm really curious about this because you chose to carry on the ZXI lineup, but you did it with a potentially different material in it, a new alloy going on. That had to have been a big choice, and it had to have come with pretty significant benefits, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I would really call iAlloy a descendant or a cousin or a brother of Z Alloy, and it was really the foundation of Z Alloy that we started with when we developed the new material. The goals for a wedge and the goals for iron are a bit different. So with a wedge, you're looking for feel, you're looking for spin, you're looking for consistency, but especially in a game improvement iron space, you need to have that ball speed element. You've got to have a little bit more strength for hitting a ball, you know, 200 yards instead of with a wedge, the longest shot you're ever going to hit is, you know, 110, 120.
Ideally.
So yeah. So there's a completely different sort of set of parameters with everything that we're trying to achieve with our mainframe IQ faces and the overall designs for that. So it was really taking the foundation of what Z Alloy was for wedges and treating that material a bit differently to create something that's a little bit stronger and can work with all of those other technologies that we were looking to put into the irons while still being 10% softer than your typical 431 steel that's going to be in game improvement irons. So taking advantage of everything that was available in Z Alloy, the more material to move around, there's more discretionary mass with I Alloy versus what we've used in game improvement irons in the past, which allows you to put more to the perimeter and more low for MOI and CG properties that, you know, facilitate forgiveness and higher launch, that softer feel. That's obviously something we prioritize heavily at Strixon, as I ad nauseum have mentioned here, as a key focus with the iAlloy material. And then also just making sure all of our distance technologies and everything that's going along there will work with a material that's designed to go as thin as possible and to create that better performance across the face and with everything that we're trying to achieve from a distance perspective as well. So checking all of those boxes needed some modifications to the Z Alloy, and that's how we landed at the iAlloy material, which essentially unlocked the ability to create game improvement irons in the way we've always wanted to.
You've really got me wrapped up in this idea of versus other game improvement irons. And here's where it resonates for me, and I'm sure the folks out there, there's two schools of thought here. Number one, I've always said play the most forgiving iron you can stand to look at and experience. But I've never really said play the most forgiving iron you can stand to hear as well. There's a level of reward that comes with a pure, flushed muscle back iron that doesn't always exist when you get into some of these alternative materials that are required to create extreme levels of forgiveness in a product. There's also a conversation about imposter syndrome where you go, and a lot of people love to blend sets. I'm guilty of that as well, especially in the maybe 5 or 4 iron. I love putting something more forgiving. I mean, I have a more forgiving ZXI in my bag in that slot for a very good reason. And there is a level of requirement that exists that you can't go from the 2 irons in the set, one from one set and one from the more forgiving set, and have a fundamentally different sound profile. There, especially a diminishing one. If it's lush and it's a little bit more hollow or deeper or something like that, it's not a big deal. But from a quality of sound perspective, that is massively important for a lot of golfers. So I'd ask with that, especially when it relates to this understanding that there are materials that exist that need to get better in the game improvement space. iAlloy sounds like it solves quite a few of those challenges.
Totally. And it's really been a focus of ours to not have that clicky experience in this category that I think many people know so well when you're moving into an iron that's, you know, just designed for forgiveness. Sometimes those are at more of a budget price point. It's really something that as a brand, we don't support. Like, we want to make sure that you're still getting that buttery experience, whether or not you're, playing a more forgiving iron or something that's designed for better players. So focusing this alloy and the overall design of our irons as well around feel. I won't get into too many of the specific details on how that works, but there are certain decisions we always make on our Strix on shaping that have a massive correlation with feel, and bringing that over to game improvement space helps as well. So the confluence of all of that have allowed us to make an iron that feels great in this category, and it's something people really care about. I mean, obviously you care about forgiveness, obviously you care about distance, and we've put all of that into these irons, but the look at address, the feel off the face, all of those is kind of what makes golf the, you know, experience that it is, and gives a player confidence and a more enjoyable time on the course, and are things that we take very seriously when we're designing a new product. And even for a space that maybe forgiveness and distance can sort of be the hot button topics and discussion points, we don't want to leave feel behind as a brand.
Well, it isn't. And it certainly depends on which part of your bag we're talking about. I mean, I've had a friend locally who has been really toying with some of these high launch alternatives, which you are now no stranger to, clearly, with this option here in the ZXIR lineup. So that's really fun to see, but there's an understanding. And the funny part is it's not for everyone, and we all benefit from different things. I'm going the other way because I add a ton of loft at contact. So I'm hitting these moon balls, and he's gone from like a little short to really optimal, which is so fun to see because we all have our own unique ID, right? So all that to say that I fully understand that there are different needs and requirements, but I think everyone's still chasing that really positive, really solid response when you hit the ball well. And that's kind of the point of golf, right? Like, we're not all going to break par every time, so we can at least enjoy the good shots when we hit them, is kind of my perspective.
Totally. And I think with this lineup, to your friend's point and to your point, we really wanted to make sure that we could fit an entire range of golfers into the Strixon brand with the sort of completion of our lineup with these 2 irons. So by adding that HL model and going, we've gotten basically the highest in the market in that category. We really feel like we have an option for golfers who struggle to get the ball, you know, launched high enough, and more than almost anything else out there in this sector, we feel confident that players are going to see that higher launch and hit something that in a way that they never have before, whether you're de-lofting the club at impact or you just have a moderate club head speed that, you know, you need a little bit of help with loft. Game improvement irons have admittedly gotten extremely strong over the last 10 or so years with everybody chasing distance, and having an option in our lineup that really goes the other way and is a little bit more traditionally lofted and helps players to experience that forgiveness and distance, but ensuring they're launching it for their game. And then, you know, throughout the entire lineup from ZXIR HL to ZForge 2, we have a offering that's going to give you that Strixon authentic feel, but the performance and level of forgiveness versus workability that you're looking for in an iron.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk quickly about the things that are similar. It's from what I can tell, you've attempted or successfully or succeeded at creating an iron that has that sort of familiar Strixon shaping. I would say that the ZXI irons have a very particular look at a dress, and I think that's a good thing. I think it differentiates them. And I would assume you've carried that over. I see Tour VT sole. There are things that exist for a reason that have continued to progress this line. I assume that's very intentional.
Yes, and I think it kind of goes back to our philosophy on CBZ as well, and the wedge side of, we're not going to water things down just because it's a game improvement iron for a golfer who's not quite as skilled or as consistent. We're going to add those technologies and design the iron in a way that works for their needs. But things like our progressive grooves throughout the set that, you know, vary in the long irons versus the short irons for different levels of spin, things like our Tour VT sole, which obviously is extremely well adopted on tour and kind of a hallmark of what makes irons from the Strixon brand so great, is just as effective for your game improvement golfers. Sure, it's on a little bit of a different overall sole design that's a little wider, but that benefit of that leading edge bounce and that trailing edge relief is still there for that player who might be striking a little bit, even, you know, a lot less consistency than your tour professionals. So putting all of those items into the iron along with that signature Strixon shaping, yeah, to your point, we do have sort of unique design aesthetic that we lean into on all of our irons that plays into a lot of things. It plays into feel, it plays into overall workability, it plays into mass properties that our engineers always target with each of our irons. So taking all of the core tenets of what make a Strixon iron so great and putting them into the game improvement space was the focus. And I think we really achieved it quite well with the ZXIR and HL irons.
Well, let's take a few minutes to break down, or at least draw some comparisons between, let's say, ZXI4 and ZXIR. And sure, a lot of people will look at this and say there's a fairly similar presentation, especially when looking at the back of the heads. And I think it'd be important to draw some of the differences out and talk about the benefits of each, or maybe just focus on ZXIR and have a sort of understanding that ZXI4 is just a hair different in that regard.
Yeah. I would say we've kind of recategorized the ZXI4 more where it honestly falls as sort of a player's development iron. So we really see that as kind of your entry into the player's category with an iron that's a little bit smaller in chassis than most sort of game improvement irons you'll see out there. Designed for distance, designed with a decent amount of workability still. And for somebody who's kind of making their transition from needing all of that forgiveness and a more, you know, cavity back game improvement type of iron into the player's category, but still needs some of those benefits and wants to look good aspects of that, I think that's what the ZXI4 is really a good option for. So, you know, a bit of a segue between the game improvement and player's distance space. The ZXIR, on the other hand, is dead nuts right in the middle of what you expect to see from a game improvement iron with, you know, that Strixon shaping. So we really do believe, compared to the rest of that space, this is going to look a lot better at address, but it is going to fall more in the range of blade length, offset, all of those aspects that you're going to typically find within the game improvement iron space to give you that confidence, but also, you know, build in a little bit more forgiveness throughout the set. And then the HL goes a hair further. It's not much longer blade length. It's not much more offset. The sole isn't that much wider, but it is in all of those areas slightly more forgiving and slightly more super game improvement than the R. So yeah, I think the overall summary there is you can expect a little bit more workability and more of a player's like profile out of the 4 series, and then a bit more of a true game improvement profile in the R and the HL.
Yeah. Let's run it back a little bit on mainframe. Maybe for those who are focused purely in on this show and haven't listened in the past, we've had discussions on mainframe before, but there is a philosophy that exists at Strixon about marrying the two pieces of the head together from an iron perspective. And I would assume this, as I'm jumping in here, the goal is to sort of balance that performance across the face as much as you can, rather than dealing with some of those weld lines or varying things that could have a big and negative impact on performance around the face, because we're not all robots. So mainframe as a whole, and then maybe how much it benefits ZXIR.
Sure. Yeah. Mainframe is a process that we've had for a few generations now that really goes to a new level in ZXIR, where our engineers set parameters, run thousands and thousands of simulations based on all of the historical shot data that we've collected over the years. And the computer will spit back a pattern of where we can remove mass and things like that to achieve the goals that we're looking for each iron. From that, the engineers will put in some new parameters and shift goals and bring things that are not manufacturable or other things into play and run the simulations again. And through an iterative process like that, each generation, we've come with a new face design for each product to really focus on the goals that we're trying to achieve that generation. And looking at ZXIR compared to the past irons we've done or the ones still in line, like the 5 series and 4 series, the new ZXIR offering is way more complex and very obviously, so amorphous and driven in a different, more unique, much more complex and milled direction than the past irons have. So the goals of that are to remove weight. So we're trying to get as much mass out of the face as possible. And combined with the eye alloy material being less dense, that allows us to move more of that to the perimeter and low and deep. So, for a game improvement iron, focuses are on that forgiveness and high launch across both of the models. So that allows for that mass to move, as well as creating those thinner areas on the face to really maximize ball speed, on the face itself, which, the other aspect of that design overall focus with the MOI and the increase there also has an impact on ball speed. So more MOI equals more ball speed on off-center impact. So that combined with the thin areas of the face really allow us to focus all of the energy that possible, even on those mishits, into creating similar distance to center contracts.
So you have a 4 in the bag, right? Don't lie to me.
I should. I've been a utility believer. I love our utility irons. So that's what I've been gaming in the long irons there. But I've certainly been testing them. I've actually thought about putting some HLs in the bag. I've got an issue where the standard irons go very far for me with my my ball flight and sort of low spin there. So as somebody who deloffs the club a bit, the HL is actually a tempting option to replace. And when my swing's struggling a little bit, it's something that I'm considering as a swap out to my combo set.
Well, let's talk HL a little bit, why it matters. I know we've sort of teased it a bit throughout the show here, but HL, again, we're seeing around the industry, people are really taking note that golfers need help launching the ball. I mean, I assume you guys have gotten all the emails my dad has sent at this point, who's played Strix on irons in the past. But the criticism is always with those lofts and the way he approaches the ball sounds fairly similar to what you do. It's hard to get the ball elevated. It's hard to land it soft and, promote those things that really matter, especially on a swing speed dependent golfer, to shoot better scores and not run it through the green. So why does HL matter so much, and why did it make so much sense to incorporate it here?
Yeah, I think fitters are more and more catching on to the importance of descent angle as kind of the hot button term we hear a lot there, and launch angle and, overall spin level in your irons and holding greens as a top priority for a wide range of players. Especially in the US, actually, an interesting nugget is we hear some feedback from overseas and other regions, and example of Europe and Korea, that the way they design their golf courses, a lot more ability to roll the ball up onto greens and less overall obstacles that you need to carry. So bunkers, water, all the things that we face on a regular basis with our golf courses are things that they don't really see so much in their design. So fitters in the US have really latched on to the fact that these golfers need that elevated loft. There's no point of hitting the ball, 180 yards with whatever club that may be, if you are rolling at the last 25 of that in a real, life scenario, that's not normally the best way to go about playing playing the game and shooting better scores. So giving them an item like the HL in their quiver to fit players who need that added loft and are struggling a little bit with getting the ball up or need to clear hazards on a regular basis or all of the things that come with trying to hold the green and shoot better scores is really a message that we see resonating in the market. And I think in our early sales trends, we're seeing a higher perspective and a higher mix of the HL selling than we had even expected. So it's really got a lot of momentum, and players and fitters are seeing the importance of that category and the benefits to their game, and not only chasing that distance number, but ensuring that, you know, you're actually going to be able to hold greens and hit the ball close, which is, you know, what really matters more than anything else with irons.
There seems like there's a different bit of conversation coming out of Strixon lately. I mean, there is, I've seen a few videos, and I'm looking at an ad to my left here talking about all golfers wanted, shove, swing your swing. Like there's some fun stuff going on, and I don't know if you want to touch on it at all, talk about where this came about and why the company cares so much about this type of thing. But I definitely feel like it's having an impact on what I see.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's really been a focus, and we kind of revealed at the PGA show a bit of a brand reinvigoration with this Obsessed With It campaign, and a focus on expanding Strixon to a wider range of golfers instead of just the sort of tour authentic DNA that we currently have. We're not going away from that. That is still, you know, a focus of the brand, and will always be the foundation of everything we make, is that it's validated on tour, and everything along with the club design being, you know, thought through in a tour professional sense. But expanding with irons like ZXIR to a wider range of players, and really making it clear who Strixon wants to be as a brand, who we're for, what we're really focused on from a overall, you know, vision and where we're trying to go as a company, and who we think are our people and our players, and representing them in our content, but also in our products. So you'll definitely see a bit of a shift and a focus moving forward into a more clear direction on what kind of stuff we're going to be making from a product perspective, but also from a soft goods perspective and, you know, advertising perspective and different campaigns and limited edition items and everything like that. Really creating more of an identity around the brand as a whole. So I'm excited for the future there. And a lot of fun things to come.
Yeah, a lot of things probably sitting behind you. You're not going to show us whatever. I don't want to talk about that anymore. I do love this time of year, because you start to see some rumblings of the companies. One of my favorite things is to see all the different staff bags that are made for the majors. And I feel like Strixon pretty consistently has some of the best colorways of the major series. There's one a couple years ago or last year that like hit every single color you could possibly want. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, man, would they just do more things that to make it look like that? Because clearly someone's having fun with a color palette there that works with my brain. So it sounds like there's potential there that we're going to see some more Strixon related goods that people can acquire and be proud to wear.
Yes. Yeah. You will be hearing a lot more from us this spring and summer, and can't share too much, but I would keep your eyes on, you know, different offerings and see what might pop up on the THP feed over the year. And my recommendation would be to move quickly when things do, because not everything will be high quantity.
You know how electric it'd be if you just reach behind you and threw a hat on no one's ever seen before, right? Like, you know that, right? Man, it's always so much fun to have you on the show. Have we touched on pretty much everything you want people to hear about when it comes to ZXIR?
Yeah, I think that covers most of it. I mean, the true story of expanding our lineup and everything that's in the other irons really being featured here, iAlloy being the key to all of that, and the continuation of our mainframe technologies and Tor VT Sole. It's really everything you've come to love about Strixon, just in a package designed for a wider range of players. And I think our job from a marketing and in podcasts like this as well, is just to let people know that Strixon's not just a brand for, you know, your elite players and We're not moving away from that. All of that is still going to be a large part of our focus. And our tour staff has been lighting it up and showing the validation of how great those clubs are. But expanding to make it a brand for everybody out there who's looking to play better golf is really a focus for us.
I love it. And I love the alloy story, because if you just said, hey, go try the 517 material that we've put in this new iron, I'm like, all right, whatever, dude. It's just steel I've never heard of. But you call it some sort of alloy, and suddenly I'm like a materials expert and I need to go and hit it. I'm incredibly curious to hear what it sounds like, because those are the things that I really pay attention to. Whether intentional or not, I am a sucker for a good sound when it comes to an iron. But I'm also not afraid to hit as large as it can go and still sound good. So, you know, my expectations are massive. I hope you guys did it right, and I suspect you did, but I will be giving you feedback when I hit them, and I will be hitting them because that 4-iron slot is always up for grabs in the bag from a forgiveness perspective. I'm really excited, man. I think the whole lineup looks great. I've had a ton of fun with my sevens. And the idea that you guys are expanding is really cool.
Yeah, glad to hear it. I mean, alloy is buttery. It, just like Z alloy, you'll have an amazing experience with it. It's a benefit of inventing a material yourself. You get the ability to name it. So that comes with the territory of having, you know, chief metallurgists that you work with on a day-to-day basis that have come up with something that doesn't exist anywhere else. And we have the ability to craft it and market it in the way we want to. So it's really an exciting time, and to have these material expertise and put that all into a final product that gives the experience the golfers are looking for is something that's really rewarding. So yeah, give it a try. And I hope that slot is something that maybe will no longer become a revolving door once you get a ZXIR in the bag.
Well, you got to chase something if you're not chasing anything, right? Like sure. You have to do it. But yeah, for a little call to action for you guys out there, go hit these new irons, or just hit any of the ZXI irons and come tell me on the forum what you think about it. We're always having great conversation there, but man, iAlloys, it will be in my future and I can't wait. Casey, I appreciate you coming on, man, as always.
Thanks for having me. It's been a great time, Dan.
All right. Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have fun and pay attention to what your iron sounds like, because I know I will be now. We'll see you guys next week. Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey, everybody. Don Brown, True Temper, back here with another Shaft University. This week's question is about the difference between our original Denali and our brand new Denali Frostline that we've just launched. The very similar EI profiles from the original to the Frostline. So still better for our smooth swingers. We still have the low launch in the black, the mid in the blue, and the high launching red. The word frost there is actually a technology, focused rotational stability technology. And what that is we've added another layer of torsional plies to the shaft. We've done that before, but what makes it unique in the Frostline is we actually move it around on the shaft. So in the black parts, it's going to be lower, closer to the tip. You get that stability for the higher swing speeds. And it doesn't matter that we've stiffened up that tip a little bit more. But in the blue and the red, we don't want to add material at the bottom and make them a little bit stiffer. So we move them up the shaft. So you still get that stability without changing the ball flight. We're really excited about this Denali Frostline, guys. It's a great one. I'm playing the black in my driver right now. I think you'll really like it. Have a good week. Talk to you guys next week.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network.
Your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.